strictly keen on the Lutheran position regarding the person of Christ or regarding the real presence. They don't want any of that. There's a little bit, now it's interesting that in the Vestiarian controversy that I mentioned, there was a translation of one of the documents coming out of the Lutheran adiaphoristic controversy that the Puritan side published, because like the Gnasio Lutherans, they basically were arguing that adiaphora are not adiaphora if people are getting a heterodox message. So yeah, to answer your question, there is interest in knowledge. A lot of it's not favorable.
Thank you.
After the question by Pastor Borneman, we will begin with Dr. Preuss's essay, which will go before and after the chapel. So if Dr. Preuss will come up, you have material to give out? No, we'll handle that. If you just come up now, please. One more question, please.
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
This can be postponed to maybe the panel discussion if the group wants it. I'm Carl Bornman, the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Luxembourg, Wisconsin, but I'm also have been for the last 11 years on the Episcopal Lutheran Dialogue representing the Missouri Synod.
That'd be interesting to have you talk about that.
I was wondering if you would care to react to just a few comments concerning that dialogue and the how it ended up. The dialogue was in three parts, and in each of the three parts, especially the first two, that went up to about 1980, the emphasis was upon episcopate of doctrine, the transition of the faith from generation to generation rather than the physical laying on of hands. When we got to the third part in the 80s, the ELCA that had formed interim Eucharistic sharing with the Episcopalians at that point was mandated to achieve full communion by the ELCA with the Episcopal Church in the Episcopal Church with the ELCA. And the stickling point, of course, was the ministry. And first of all, we have to understand that the representatives of the Episcopal Church recognize the validity of the ministry of the ELCA, and for that matter, of the pastors of the Missouri Synod. But they said, since we recognize your ministry and we do not depreciate your ministry at all, wouldn't you care to consider accepting apostolic succession? And this proposal that is now going to be before the ELCA and the Episcopal Church this coming summer in their conventions calls for an exchange of ministry at the time of ordination of every ELCA pastor to have an Episcopal bishop present to assist in the laying on of hands. And this is going to go on for several decades in order to give apostolic succession to the ELCA.
Well,
that's the proposal.
Yeah.
Now, just a clarification of the comment that was made yesterday about the dissent. There are three pastors that dissented, two of the representatives on the on this ELCA dialogue with the Episcopalians dissented what they said for scriptural and confessional reasons. But I want to give a warning that it's not our scriptural and confessional reasons.
Yeah.
Two representatives that dissented with a paper, a one-sheet objection, rest upon an interpretation of Augsburg Confession Article 7 that says, it is enough to agree on the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. If you agree on that, there should be full communion without any other hitches. In other words, the bare minimalistic kind of a falling back on the Satis Est of Augsburg Confession 7. So your reaction?
Well, yeah, my reaction is you actually, with the conclusion of that dialogue, you have, in a sense, the triumph of the late Elizabethan Anglicans. Because their attitude over against other Protestant communions was to recognize the validity of the church in their midst and its ministry, but to contend that it wasn't well ordered. In other words, like our Episcopalian friends, yes, we're all pastors, but you don't have it quite right in terms of your order relationships and ordination and the like. That's what they were saying too. So I'd say, well, you know, not quite, well, about four centuries later, they finally won. The interesting thing is that they won with respect to the Lutherans as opposed to the Reformed, which were the ones that they were more closely related to in the beginning. So I don't know whether that signifies a Lutheran sellout or not, but it sounds to me like that the Elizabethan Anglican point of view has prevailed in those discussions.